Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The Tharros Tent Village, or Camp Tharros, near Lewis, recently closed for the winter as Code Purple shelters opened to serve those facing homelessness in the area. Tharros reopened again this year after a delayed start, welcoming just under 30 total guests over the course of this year's warm weather season. Tharros is a temporary tent city for working people experiencing homelessness that was initially set up along Route 1 in the fall of 2024. Now it's becoming a recurring fixture. This week, Delaware Public Media's Israel Hale sits down with Mike Agnew, executive director of the Tharros Tent Village and partner of St. Jude Code Purple, to discuss the village project and what they have planned for next year.
So why don't we just start? Why don't you just tell us what Tharros is?
Tharros Village is a fair weather camp that'll be open in March, March 16th. So it's blended with Code Purple at the Cape. So we have two shelters here in the Cape region, one for men and one for women. We have 14 beds in each shelter. And Tharros opens when Code Purple closes in March. And then Tharros closes when Code Purple opens in December. So December 1st, which was Monday, Tharros closed and all our guests moved indoors to our Code Purple at the Cape shelter. So they complement each other. It's not as if we closed for some other reason. It was planned to be closed. Our guests, residents knew it was going to close, and it closed on time. And we have a lot of agreements with the, we have a conditional use ordinance with the county, with Sussex County, and we have a contract with the state of Delaware. So we're regulated, basically. We have requirements, and that part of that was being open from March 16th to November 30th.
Your regulations there, yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about that too?
Well, we have use of the property from the dates I gave you, and we're limited to 28 tents, which is also sort of a magical number. It's the two shelters. We have 14 beds in each shelter, but also the physical layout of the village limits us to 28. So the village is about a half an acre. And the tents are 10 feet apart for safety and fire reasons. And so we can only fit about 28. It's only viable for about 28 tents. There's one person to each tent. The residents that are interested in coming in have to apply to come in. They have to pass an application process. We have an admissions team that reviews their application, and not everyone that applies is accepted. I think we had 58 applications in the last season, and only 33 were actually accepted into the village. Coming into the village, they're required to work. There's no sitting around, so if they're not working, then we give them a volunteer assignment, and we have many volunteer assignments up and down Coastal Highway between Lewis and Rehoboth Beach and the unincorporated areas between there. A lot of the thrift shops take volunteers, and we send our guests there to volunteer. We also had volunteer opportunities with the streets department in Rehoboth Beach, cleaning up the boardwalk each morning throughout the season. And some of our guests that might not have worked recently, that might not be able to just go out and get in the job right away, were able to get these volunteer positions, which allowed them to build a resume and eventually get a job. And in some cases, our volunteer team members were actually hired. So they have to either work or volunteer. That's number one. Number two, they need to participate in case management. So we get case management from First State Community Action, which is a statewide organization that provides a number of services, case management being one of them. And our case manager's on site every Tuesday. Our guests are required to meet with their case managers at least once a month physically and once a month virtually, and accomplish the goals that are established by the case manager. And those goals could vary from rebuilding relationships with family members, friends, finding a job, getting their health insurance in order, getting their identification papers in order. There's a number of of different things. It varies by person. All of our residents have to be willing to work. There's no alcohol or drugs permitted in the village. Anyone with an alcohol problem or a drug problem has to go to rehabilitation. We have a sort of an agreement with Banyan up in Milford. They've taken a number of our guests over this past season, where the guests will spend 30 days in detox. When they come back, they're required to participate in AA programs at least twice a week. So there's no tolerance at all. And not everyone in the homeless community is attracted to that kind of effort. So the benefit, of course, is that they get treated with dignity. They have a clean place, a safe place to live, that they're there legally. They're not squatting. Should there be any disturbance in the village, they're welcome to call the police, and the police will come and resolve the issue, and they won't be affected at all, which is not normal for an encampment of homeless people. They have toilets, they have trash facilities, they have showers a couple of times a week. We bring a shower facility in for them. There's meals available at least once a day. And of course, they're at work most of the day. So there's plenty of food available in a cooler on campus under a canopy area, a sort of a mess area for our guests. We have lots of volunteers that come by and check on our guests throughout the day. DSP is there a couple of times a day to check on our guests as well, should there be any issues that need to be addressed. That's kind of how it works. We did peak out at 28 guests at one point throughout the summer, but we weren't always at the 28, sometimes less. We closed on November 30th.
Plus or minus 28 people most of the season. I did want to ask, now that this first sort of deal is over, for now, obviously, how'd it go? How do you feel like it went this time?
Yeah, I think it went really well. We don't have the amenities at the level I think that we would like. We don't have electricity, for example. We're looking to install that over the next 3 months, so we can open up in the spring with electric power, lights, for example, after sundown. We did have running water. We had a plumber come in and install running water, so we have water. We don't have showers or laundry facilities there yet, but that's something that we're looking at on the long term. For next year, we're looking to improve our camera facilities, also improve the quality of our tents. We used recreational tents this season, and that they didn't prove to be viable for 5 months. And then next season, we'll open in March and continue till November. So we need a more of a FEMA quality, a military grade tent. So we'll be improving that for the opening in March as well. So we have a number of projects that were already on the books that we're looking at. And we're also discussing this with several donors in the area that can contribute the funds necessary to reopen with the amenities that we need. I think the enforcement of the work requirement every day can become difficult on the volunteers. We do have a bus, so we transport our guests as best we can from and to their volunteer assignments or their employment. If it's convenient to the coastal highway, try to stay along coastal highway with the bus as much as possible. We have some costs involved. There's certainly a cost involved in running our bus. It's a couple of $1,000 a month just in gas and maintenance to run the bus. But we think the benefit's there. I think taking the real benefit, I think, of the Theros Village is removing people from the encampment, which immediately allows partner organizations like BB Healthcare to come in and address all the chronic illnesses that we have among the homeless, unsheltered community, rather than having those being addressed at the ER, which saves a lot of money for the community. Think about fire, ambulance, and police, as well as the cost of healthcare at our BB facility. So that's a real plus, creating a clean environment for the people who want to get out of the homeless situation that they're in is a positive in and of itself. So when Governor Meyer says, I want to reduce homelessness in the state of Delaware by 50%. I was speaking to Matt Heckles, the Secretary of Housing, recently, and I said, "Well, what 50% do you want to reduce? Because there's a population within the population of homeless people that really want to get out of it, that are really intent on not staying. I'm homeless, but I'm not staying homeless." There's another population within the population of, I'll say, chronic homeless that don't want to get out, that are comfortable in enjoying the charitable offerings of the community around them, and aren't really interested in actually moving forward. And then we have homeless tourists that are just passing through. So we try to filter out those last two for the Theros Village. We don't really filter them out for our Code Purple shelters in the wintertime because it's cold. Everyone deserves to get out of the cold, regardless of their intent. But Theros is a bar above, so it requires a little bit more. And it's not just, you don't just walk in. You have to be ready to come in, and you have to be really willing to go to work. And I don't just mean in employment, but make the effort to climb out of the situation that you're in. We've seen a year on year from 23 to 24 at our indoor shelters. We average 22 guests here in the Lewis Rehoboth Beach area. In 24, 25, that number rose by 50% to 33 guests each night. So we're not going to solve homelessness, but I think we can make a dent in it and help control the growth of it.
Thanks to Mike Agnew, Executive Director of the Theros Tent Village, and our Israel Hale for joining us on The Green this week. Next up on The Green, we learn more about tenant rights in the First State. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.